And when the enemy comes in like a flood,
yes,
to the United Kingdom,
yes,
God has raised up a standard,
amen,
against him.
Amen.
And I thank God for every kind of revival. I thank God for quiet revivals. Amen.
Amen.
But I think we're going to have a noisy revival. I think we're going to have a noisy revival, I'm afraid. If you're into quiet revivals, amen. But I do believe in the noisy revival. I love the scripture. It's Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 1, where God has promised. We can find it. Zechariah's not even chapter 12, chapter 10. Ask the Lord for rain in the springtime, for it is the Lord who sends. And this is actually a new NIV. It wasn't there in the original other NIVs. Okay. It's the Lord who sends, who makes the storm clouds. He gives showers of rain to men. That's a good NIV. The thing with NIV is they keep changing till you find one that you like. It's a bit suspicious, really. But a translation of that that I've got now in this, it's called the TNIV. Ask the Lord for rain in the springtime. It's the Lord who sends the thunderstorms. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
And this quiet revival, I believe, is going to turn into thunderstorms.
Yeah.
That's what Voy was sharing. There'll be miracles, signs and wonders in the name of Jesus. That's lightning and thunder. Thunder and lightning the other way around. Pouring out of the Spirit of God. And in any case, I think we can sense God is doing something at the Way Family Church in Werrington.
Amen.
Just simply, and it's not about numbers on chairs. It's about lasting fruit. It's the beginning, but it's the beginning. And we see that beginning. And we thank God for that beginning. And because of that, towards the end of this month, actually, from May the 29th, which is Ascension Day, I'm suggesting, proposing that we have a fast for 10 days. We're praying and fasting for 10 days. And you'll be glad to know that there's no calling up in the kingdom. It's all entirely God's army is a volunteer army.
Yeah.
You do as you are led by the Spirit of God. So we volunteer. And but just for that period between Ascension Day, which is May the 29th, it's 2 weeks on Thursday. Time flies, isn't it? And then to the day of Pentecost for 10 days. So I'm just kind of an advance notice that the key, you know, as we all know from the Word of God and from church history, to revival, it's not that, you know, there's been a huge quantity of prayer in the UK and across the whole of the UK. But for our, we can sort of add to that. And to seek God, because we, at the very beginning, we need wisdom to handle what God is about to do. Handle the growth that God has given to us. You know, I discovered last week, you know, I can't say anymore. Now we all know what Psalm 23 is. We don't all know what Psalm 23 is. We all know about David and Goliath. We don't all know about David and Goliath. So we have to have wisdom how to reach people who have no Bible knowledge, but God is bringing into his wonderful church today. And then we need to pursue God's purposes of revival. And so that's just a 10-day period. In principle, as we go forward, we need not just 10 days of prayer. We need to enlarge our praying. We need to enlarge our proclamation. We need to go in both directions, or that direction at once, on both sides. But that's just an advance notice. And we've been sharing about that later on. So we come and we go back to, or we stay in the language of Judah. And I'll read from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 13. And yeah, Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 23 to 26. Nehemiah, of course, had done a tremendous work of God in rebuilding, inspiring the rebuilding of the wall around Jerusalem. He'd asked his boss for time off in lieu and thought he'd better go back and see, you know, report back to where he was working. So he left Jerusalem for a period, not sure how long. But when he came back, he records that there'd been rather a tragedy, really, in the measure of taking place, that things that he had put into place had in the measure fallen apart. So when he comes back, he finds that tithes and offerings weren't being brought in. And because of that, the Levites and the ministry teams, the worship teams, were having to go back to work and so on. He finds that work is being done on the Sabbath day, And he gets very upset about that. And then in chapter 13 and verse 23, moreover, in those days, I saw men of Judah who had married women from Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. Half of their children spoke the language of Ashdod or the language of one of the other peoples and did not know how to speak the language of Judah. I rebuked them and called curses down on them. I beat some of the men and pulled out their hair. You know, this is a bit different from standard New Testament counseling, okay? Good. Thank God we're under a new covenant today. But it kind of called strong leadership. I rebuked them, called curses down on them, pulled out their hair. I made them all take an oath in God's name and said, you are not to give your daughters in marriage to their sons, nor are you to take their daughters in marriage for your sons. Was it not because of marriages like these that Solomon, the king of Israel, sinned? Among the many nations, there was no God. There was no king like him. He was loved by his God, and God made him king over all Israel. But even he was led into sin by foreign women. Verse 24, half of their children spoke the language of Ashdod or the language of one of the other peoples and did not know how to speak the language of Judah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for this wonderful principle in your word of this great tribe that you have brought us into from wherever we were. And Lord, we just thank you for the culture of this tribe, and we just pray and help us, Lord, as we share your word today, that you would help us to share that which is within your written word, that it will be an inspiration to us to, where appropriate, change our lifestyle, change how we speak and how we react in living for you, in Jesus' name. So have your way, I pray, in amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. People that come into our nation today, if you're coming from Africa or sometimes from Eastern Europe, we sometimes suggest, if you don't speak English as a first language, that you go and see Moes, because he has a course called ESOL. That is English speaking, was it English? English speaking from other languages. Amen. And you have to learn English. And like it or not, some of us may be English, other nations too. Don't have to see Moes. Some of you speak English very eloquently. But we actually, as far as the kingdom of God comes, we come from another nation. Amen. See, there were three categories in this area that did not speak the language of Judah. There were some that came from the language or the towns or the cities of Ashdod, the Philistine territory. They spoke the curses of God. About you, but I came from that kind of territory. It wasn't really my upbringing, but I was in the world for long enough that I soon learnt, sadly, the language of Ashdod. But then there's the language of Moab and the language of Ammon, and they were the descendants of Lot. So it's like backslidden believers. There is an such a thing, if you can believe it, sadly, as unbelieving believers. Believers that really don't believe anything. They don't expect anything. And there's a kind of a culture. And if we're not careful, we can be caught up. And we tend to speak the language of the culture that we are in. Even the background of that culture, the dialects of that culture. We just take it on, and so that's what happened to me. I actually came from, thank God, a Christian culture, but I never got saved at home. But my parents were Christians, everybody else was Christians and preachers. But then I left home, and I was, in the world for working in a secular job, hundreds of miles from home. And of course, everybody swore quite normally, and I kind of just swore in self-defense. That's my excuse anyway. But I thank God that from the day I got saved, that swearing stopped. Amen. And I began to speak the language of Judah. Amen. It's a wonderful language. I love the way David puts it in Psalm 40. It's like his testimony. He says, I called upon the Lord, and he heard my cry, and he lifted me from the miry pit, and he put my feet upon a rock, and he put a new song in my mouth, even a song of praise unto my God. Yes. That's my testimony. I thank God for being saved. I thank God he saved me and he brought me into his purposes, into the spiritual tribe of Judah. And he put a new song in my heart. Amen. Nobody had to tell me you've got to sing these songs anymore. Nobody had to tell me you've got to stop swearing. God just did it. I thank God for the new creation. I thank God for the new birth. And it's okay, you know, some people go on their sort of journeys and they kind of talk them themselves out. We came to faith. I love that. That's okay if that applies to you and you feel that's how you express what has happened to you. You may be on that journey. But I want to tell you, the Bible speaks about being born again.
Yes.
The Bible speaks about new creation.
Yes.
The Bible says, I'm a brand new man.
Yes.
I'm not the old. I'm new. The old is gone. I thank God did that. There was a day in my life when I got out of bed in the morning and I was going to hell. And when I got to bed at night, I was going to heaven. Because God changed my life.
Yes.
He turned me around.
Yes.
And he put my feet on solid ground. And he put a new song in my heart.
Yes.
A song of praise unto our God.
Yes.
I began to speak the language of Judah. I began to sing the language of Judah. Long before I even went to church, which wasn't very long. David, stop shouting. This is a quiet revival. We've not got the noisy one yet. You don't need to shout. But today I want to encourage you. Call on the name of the Lord.
Yes.
Whosoever
Amen.
Shall call on the name of the Lord.
Yes.
If you don't know Jesus, you can kind of learn these songs, but they've got to come from your innermost being.
Yes.
Deep down. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Yes.
All the God wants to put a well of living water.
Yes.
First of all, it's for you.
Yes.
A well of living water, a fountain that springs up. And once you've drunk from that fountain, you will never thirst again, Jesus said. And one of these signs, they use the testimony of people that have come to Christ, especially those perhaps that were outside of the church. They have shared that the what has attracted them is that becoming a Christian, or as they put it, going to church, because it's anyway, it provides meaning in life. And actually, that was my testimony from day one, because I had a great life before I was saved. In the measure, I had everything going. I had a great job. I could all was well from that end. But I just did not know what the purpose was for living. So I can do all of this, but what at the end of it, from the day I got saved, God had a meaning for my life. I had a purpose. Praise the Lord. As God said to the Apostle Paul, I have saved you for a purpose, that you might be a witness of what you've seen of me. And God wants to show you himself, not at second hand, but himself personally.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And not only that, that's the beginning. There's a fountain, but I want to tell you, there are rivers.
Amen.
Rivers of living water, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Bless the Lord.
Amen.
So don't just be a spectator. Thank you for coming today. But on this journey, this is the most exciting day that you've ever lived. I don't know what happens after Generation Z. I think a bit about it. You know, what happens after Gen Z? Must be... I don't know what they're going to call you, whatever happens after Gen Z, but I think Jesus is coming back soon. But you're going to live in the most exciting days that this nation or the church in this nation has yet to know. We've lived and we could tell you a few things, but God has kept the best wine until the end.
Yeah.
Hallelujah! 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 Bless the Lord. And so I just want to share with you a few things about the background of this language of Judah. And to find the beginnings, you generally a good place to look in the book of Genesis. You know, the Bible is such an amazing book. And fall in love with the Bible.
Yeah.
I love the guy that was with us last week. I don't know if he's here today, but Augustus. So I'm reading the Bible. So I'm reading Genesis. And sometimes we say, well, don't do that. But he's reading it and he's blessed by that. And thank God for it. And everything's in Genesis. And that's, okay, they're getting there ahead of me. Hang on, you're going ahead. I need to... But Genesis 29, it's about Jacob, the life of Jacob.
Yeah.
And he wanted a wife, which Gen Z doesn't. So he was seeking God for a wife, and he saw a woman that he loved with all of his heart. And in those days, he had to pay for her. There's a warning, you still do. The word of God that I got for Judith was she's going to be expensive, but it'll be worth it. And I want to testify that both of that was true. Praise the Lord. More and more and more worth it. Amen.
Amen.
And I missed you the last 2 days. Honestly did. Yeah, I missed doing the washing up too. No, you kind of, anyway, bless you. But you made the most of it. But Jacob, like Jen said, was looking for a wife, and he fell in love with a lady called Rachel. And he had to work for her for 7 days. Seven years. And when the time came for the wedding, his would-be father-in-law tricked him into actually marrying her sister, whom he had no affection for whatsoever. Her sister was called Leah. And then eventually he did marry Rachel. But the Bible begins to tell us, it says, Genesis 29 and back verse 31. So you'll teach you for going ahead. Because Jacob didn't really like Leah. You could imagine the kind of household. It's not a good idea to have two wives in one house. At the best of times, and Jacob only loved one of them. But you know, if you look at the Bible, our God is an amazing. This should never have happened, by the way. It should never have happened. It was a trick. It was a plot. It wasn't what Jacob wanted. Jacob was a godly man. He was really seeking the plan of God, not in a good way, but he was seeking it. And he'd been deceived. And not surprisingly, so he didn't think much to his wife Leah. But it didn't stop her having children with her, though. So the first thing that happened was, in fact, it says, the Bible says that God kept Rachel, remained childless, but Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son, and she named him Reuben. She says, it's because the Lord has seen my misery. So that was the kind of culture she was living in. And, you know, sometimes that can affect her, certainly, but also the person itself, Reuben. And then she conceived again. She gave birth to a son, and she said, this is because the Lord has heard that I'm not loved, so she gave this one too, and she named him Simeon, after her husband, or after how she was feeling at the time. But, you know, you can imagine how she was feeling. She was miserable. She was not loved. And her husband has got no relationship with her. And then it says again she conceived and she has a third son. And she says, now at last my husband will be attached to me. So she called him Levi, which means attached. But it didn't make any difference. And then Jacob was not attached to her. He had no love for her. But she still conceived again. And verse 35. Now you're okay. Are you there yet? Okay, well done. And she's conceived again. And when she gave birth to her son, she said, this time I will praise the Lord. Whatever happens, I'm going to praise the Lord. She called him Judah. So she named him Judah, which means praise. Then she stopped having children. For a time anyway. Judah was born. So the name of Judah, the tribe of Judah, goes back to this false son of Leah. And she made the commitment that she was going to praise God anyway. Whether my husband loves me or not. Well, I'm just going to give God praise. And so the theme of Judah is about, or the praise of Judah is giving God unconditional praise. As the psalmist says, Psalm 34 and verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. At all times his praise shall constantly be in my mouth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So the language of Judah is the language of praising God at all times, from the rising of the sun. Now that's easy for me to do that today. Here I am, but a beautiful young wife. You know, older, but, you know, looking younger than she did and more beautiful than she did the day we got married. And everything in the garden is wonderful. And the sun is shining and the sun is rising. And the psalmist says, I will, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. And as far as I know, I've got no serious illnesses. I had cancer and it was over in 24 hours. God just did it miraculously, marvelously. Thank God for it. I remember once, actually, Friday was having a prayer meeting here and I was so ill. I had some muscular issues and problems. I didn't have any cancer. Well, I did, but I didn't know. And I couldn't cross the road. I had to hold up the traffic for half an hour while I crossed the road. I couldn't walk. So eventually went to the doctors and told him about that. He says, oh, yeah, no problem. Just give you some steroids. You'll be okay in the bright now. But would you like some tests for prostate cancer? I said, what's that? Not really. Well, yeah, you know, it's okay. No. And, of course, they did the test. And guess what? They found it. Eventually, and so I had to have an operation, and thank God, because they found it, it hadn't spread, so it was just a day operation, just like that, And then the next day, the surgeon was very keen. He says, you've got to keep walking. And the next day was a sunny day like this. We were home and came home, the same day, earlier in the morning, came home in the afternoon. And, okay, got to go for a walk. So I go for a walk in the sun, just thinking about it. And the guy down the road, and I just thinking, you know, only this time yesterday, I was in an operation for prostate cancer. God set me free. Amen. I will bless the Lord at all times. Well, that's easy for me to do that. That's not really unconditional praise. That's thanking God for what he's done. Yes. It's when you're in the middle of the battle. Yes. When a dear close friend of ours has had another kind of cancer and it's sort of had treatment for 8 years or so and it hasn't got any better. And now the doctors are saying, well, we really don't know anything else we can do. But for him, I will bless the Lord. Yes. At all times. Yes. I always remember Pastor John Okpara often comes and preaches for us over Christmas because he just spends Christmas in the UK. And it was the first Sunday in the new year. And his own son was seriously ill, having a serious operation in America that afternoon. And he was not only preaching on the Sunday morning in our church, but in the afternoon, he was preaching for the Czechoslovak congregation. And the doctor said, I'm going to do all of these operations today and we'll phone you. It's roundabout, he knew. It will be about 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock we'll let you the results, how it's turned out. And he came on, before he started preaching, he gets his guitar out and he says, sings that song again. I will bless the Lord at all times. Yeah. His praise shall continually. Yeah. That's real praise of God. Yes. Amen. Yeah. That's singing and raising our hallelujahs. Yes. In the midst of the storm. Yeah. It's unconditional praise. Yeah. The Apostle Paul says, Philippians 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, always. Yeah. And again I say, rejoice. I tell this testimony, I just love it, and I don't ask for forgiveness for telling it every week. But Jonathan Helser it was who wrote who composed the song that we, you know, raising our hallelujahs, and sharing how that happened. Was somebody in their church had their young, I think his two-year-old boy, was taken into intensive care by helicopter. I think it was almost on Christmas Eve. Seriously ill. And after it was there for about 2 weeks, and the church were having an all-night of prayer for him. And he was be leading that prayer service. There'd be thousands in this prayer meetings like there should be and there will be. And he was leading the prayer service. And at the very beginning of the service, just a word of encouragement, you know, a message for him from the hospital to say that this dear boy wasn't expected to last the night. And he says, as he heard that message, he saw, as he puts it, like a giant of unbelief rise up in front of him. But at the same time as the giant came, he describes it within his heart. He found a well springing up from his heart. And the words that he came up with was the prophetic words of that song. I'm going to raise a hallelujah in the middle of the storm. If the storm gets louder, my praises are going to get greater. Praise the Lord. And thank God for the hallelujahs. Hallelujah for those that are in church today because they've been through the storm. But hallelujah because you raised your hallelujahs in the middle of the storm. And some of you that are in the middle of the storm, you can raise your hallelujahs. I will bless the Lord at all times. At all times. That's the language of Judah. That's the language of Judah. And I want to encourage you to use that language. Certainly use it when you're not in the storm. But when you are, especially so. It's unconditional praise. When it's uncompromising faith. In Numbers chapter 13, we read about the occasion when Joshua sent, or Moses sent 12 spies to spy out the promised land in twos and asked them to come back with a report. And amongst those were one from the tribe of Judah, which was Caleb, and also Joshua from the tribe of Ephraim, and also 10 other spies. And they all came back with a report, and it was all right. All the 10 spies, they didn't lie. They said, these are the facts as we see it. But thank God the truth is greater than the facts. The language of Judah is the truth. and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And sometimes the facts seem against us. I want to say almost always, if you believe in the promises of God, as many as some of us, and we still do, for our nation, the facts are against us. Years ago, 7 years ago anyway, the facts were against us. You have a declining church, it's going to be zero in 7 years' time. The facts were against us, but thank God the truth is greater than the facts. Amen. He is building his church, amen, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. You see, and the problem with these 10 spies is they were unbelieving believers. They went from the land of Ashdod, they didn't come back with curses. And they just gave a report, which was a factual one, of what they found, Numbers chapter 13 and verse 27. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land. Yeah, it does flow with milk and honey. Here's its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites. They're all around us. There's all these enemies. And Caleb said, shut up. There's a time to say shut up. I think it was the spirit of Nehemiah, really. Shut up. We've got to silence unbelief. Yeah. You know, once at a time when HIV was really serious and AIDS was serious, I remember going to Africa. It's easy to preach great sermons in Africa, isn't it? Amen. I said, the thing is, you know, the issue in Africa is AIDS, but the issue with Europe is unbelief. Yeah. And I'll say, if you've got AIDS and you've got faith, then that's okay. You can believe God. But if you've got unbelief, yeah, and we in our Western society, hopefully by the grace of God, you're different. It's a different age from what we were in. But we were brought up in an area where human reasoning and science is God, where God is disenfranchised. He has no power, he has no authority, that the miracles are all sort of fables. They're not even facts, they're fables. And even if they were facts, God isn't going to do that today. That was the culture that we were in. That was our unbelieving culture. And God, thank God, by the grace of God, is going to change that, has changed that, will change that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. So they believed that. But only Caleb and Joshua came back with the language of Judah. Numbers 14, verses 7 and 9. Here comes the report. The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. Now, the others have said that, but this is where it changes. If the Lord is pleased with us, this is the language of Judah. Understand? If God is on our side, you know the other part. Yeah. For those who have not, sorry, not everybody does. If God is for us, tell them. If God is for us,
who can be against us?
Amen. Amen. That's the language of Judah. If God is pleased us, he will lead us. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not be afraid of this people, of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. That's the language of Judah. Who knows, whenever angels turn up, if the first thing they have to say to you is, fear not, by and large. Because we're afraid. Afraid sometimes of the supernatural. But also just afraid. You need to speak. There is no fear in the language of Judah. Fear not. You know, to help to learn this language, every time you come in through the main door of the church, don't just turn right. Just go a bit further. And Judith puts the text of the month on the wall, Psalm 27 and verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Who will come against me? Amen. And meditate on that. Meditate on it. Read on it. Get filled with the word of God. As one Bible teacher used to say, Bible college principal, we need to get the word of God. We need to get the language of Judah in our bones. Because even if we didn't come from the place of Ashdod, which some of us did, perhaps we all did to a degree, but we came from this Moabite territory, we came from this Ammonite territory, and we find ourselves, we instinctively begin to speak the language of Judah, but we can be surrounded by so-called unbelieving believers, which is a terrible plague. And who knows that unbelief spreads faster than faith? That's why we need to guard our faith. Protect our faith. Use our faith. Because Jesus could say to Peter, he said, I pray for you, the devil's after you in every way, and that's okay to a degree, but there's one thing that he's not going to have. I pray for you that your faith won't stale. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Thank God for it. But we've got to look after it too. Look after our faith. And so they believe God. And if we just fast forward, like to fast forward 45 years, I've just done that in my life, but anyway. Joshua chapter 14, verses 7 to 13, 45 years later down the road. Here comes Caleb again. Of course, Joshua now leading the people into the promised land. And Caleb comes to him. And he says, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites, who went up with me, made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Imagine that. Amen. Just two people believing God amid a million unbelievers who will still call themselves the people of God, but they're not believing God. And yet Caleb did. So if Caleb can do it and Joshua can do it, so can we. I'm not suggesting we're unbelievers. But there is a culture out there. There has been. And we need to come and stand on the rock, which is Jesus Christ, and our faith, and use the shield of faith. Yeah. So he says, I brought a report, but now he made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. The Bible says he was of a different spirit. If necessary, we need to be of a different spirit. So on the day Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord has promised, he's kept me alive for 45 years since he said this to Moses. Now here I am today, 85 years old. He's older than me, amen. I am still as strong today as the day Moses set me out. Just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now, give me, it says in the book, give me this mountain. I know what mountains you've got to believe God for today. But I'm younger than Caleb. But I'm believing God for the promise he gave me over 45 years ago. What God has said he's going to do. And what God showed me over 45 years ago. It ain't going to be a quiet revival. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Hallelujah! I don't think there's any such thing as a quiet revival. When the Holy Ghost is there, it wasn't a quiet revival when Jesus came. It wasn't quiet. The spirits, the demon spirits shrieked and came out with shrieks and cries, and there was rejoicing in the house. Anyway, if you like quiet revivals, be still and know it is God. That's true. Live in that. And we need to have that time. I don't minimize that or eliminate that. I think naturally, in the nature, I think that's basically the way God... I think I'm a fairly quiet person, honestly. Most of the time, Judith doesn't even know I'm in. It's only when I preach I make a bit of noise. You see, the holy anointing of the Holy Spirit, it's not about shouting and screaming. The Holy Spirit, thank God, can move very simply. We don't have to shout. And some of us were brought up in a culture like that. And, a culture of, you don't have to shout. You can just be quiet. And you don't have to sort of shout at the devil. You just have to use that wonderful name. Yes. Who knows what the theme of today was in one word? Yes. Amen. It's his name. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. I tried that as an experiment. It's a bit naughty, but there was this demonized woman, sadly. But in the church, I was with another pastor too. And we were sort of, every so often, she would sort of scream and start to try and attack us. So I said, in the name of Jesus, be still. In the name of... So, I got the victory each time, but she didn't actually get deliverance there. But anyway, I thought after a bit, it's going on a bit. So I just said, got tired of shouting, in the name of Jesus. And it was just as good. It wasn't my shouting. It's his name. Yes. His name is a revenue. But it... well, whatever you call it, it's going to be a noisy one. There's going to be excitement in the church of God. It's going to be an exciting place to be. You can be excited when you're still and quiet. You can enjoy God like that, and I do. I thank God for the time when actually God filled me with the Holy Ghost and gave me that first vision, and I just had to sit before God, and I was quite quiet. It's good to do that. I'm not kind of minimizing that, but I'm just sort of saying, I'm saying what I'm saying. If you're not confused yet, you never will be. Praise the Lord. But that's the language of Judah, and it's uncompromising faith, and it's raising our hallelujahs in the midst of the battle. It's believing God like Caleb did for 45 years, when nobody else did. Thank God for it. Most people that have achieved anything for God have been through that same valley, that same road. Nobody else believed them. Sometimes their family didn't believe them. Even with Jesus, his brothers definitely didn't believe who he was. He went down that road, and we go the same road. Believing God, it's the language, the road of Judah. It's the faith that is the language of Judah. It's unconditional, uncompromising faith. Amen. So just to conclude, there's so many others, but of course, above all, the language of Judah spoken by David when he went against Goliath. Language of Judah spoken by the king Jehoshaphat as he went against the enemy and encouraged them to believe God. Believe the prophets, and then you can praise God. He'll give you the victory. But if we want to know the language of Judah, we come to him again. Yes. Hallelujah. Jesus. They took note of Jesus. When they asked the sort of secret Gestapo police, the Jewish Gestapo police, or the Sadducee Pharisee priest, why didn't you arrest him? Why didn't you bring him in? They didn't sort of say, well, because he fight, we couldn't sort of get him, his disciples were protecting him. They just came back and they said, strangely, but wonderfully, nobody speaks like him. It's just the way he speaks. It's just different. God help us to be different. Amen. How we speak. Yeah, normal speak, really. Yeah, it's not all, you know, don't get carried away, Mike. Well, I'm enjoying shouting for a bit, you understand. You know. I enjoy a few hallelujahs. You can say hallelujah. But I'll just say, anyway, fit that. Yeah, no one spoke like him. Jesus spoke the word of God. When he's confronted by the devil, he could in his glory, as the Son of God, have just destroyed the devil by the brightness of his glory. But he said to the devil, devil, it is written. He spoke the word of God, spoke the language of Judah. The Bible says of Jesus that he sprang out of Judah. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And he breaks every chain. And we are in his tribe. And he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he is the head of our tribe. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, a tribal chief who is our King, Jesus. Amen. And we speak his language. We do what he does. We say and speak in the way that he would speak. And he spoke the word of God. Hallelujah. In his first sermon, Luke chapter 4, he spoke the word of God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Quoted from Isaiah chapter 61, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim peace to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, and proclaim this is the year of the Lord's favor. No one spoke like him. He spoke compassion and blessing. It's a challenge to us, isn't it? We're not like Nehemiah. Sometimes we tend to be. We can see where he comes from, but we're not of that spirit. We are under a new covenant, and we forgive, and we have compassion, as Jesus did on the cross, and can say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Then he spoke life, and he spoke power. The words that I say unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. It always challenges me, you know, if we pray for anybody, if you're asked to pray for somebody, I've got a cold. So we just kind of say a simple prayer, oh Lord, you know, heal this dear lady with this cold and just pray for a few minutes or so. And somebody else comes with cancer and all of a sudden we kind of just add the words on and use every promise we can think of in the word of God and just quote everything and do a bit of shouting in between and speak in tongues or whatever. And here's a dead man in the tomb and he says, Lazarus, come out. Help us to speak like him. His word. You know, Reinhard Bonnke had a revelation once and he said, God said to him, my word in your mouth is as powerful as his word in his mouth. Amen. God, give us that same revelation. We need that revelation. We need to seek God for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Dear men loved women of God like that have gone to heaven for eternity, but they leave behind a testimony. And my morning reading, thank God, is Reinhard Bonnke. Huh? But, you know, it's his heart. First person that he prayed for, I think he was about 12 years old. The way God led him, God used him and God anointed him. And now he's in heaven where there's no sick people. But we're on earth where there are. God, give us the gifts of the Holy Ghost, especially the gift of prophecy, especially healing, and all the other gifts as well. Praise the Lord. We don't have to say long prayers. We can speak the word of God. We have the gift of faith. God, give us those gifts. 9 gifts is another study since I'm dying. It's God's word. And then Jesus spoke to the sick. He spoke to demons, he spoke to the dead, he spoke to the storm, and he spoke to the sea. Actually, the Bible says he rebuked the storm, which was different. It was possibly, probably demonic. So he rebuked the storm that was against him. Storms coming against him. And then the sea was just rough. Now, instead of just giving up when he saw the rough sea like Peter did, the Bible says Peter looked at the waves and he lost his faith and stopped walking. But Jesus saw the waves and he just said, be still. And thank God we can speak to the storm in the name of Jesus. It's that name again. Yeah. I know that storms are coming against you. Some of you are being in a storm, are going through a storm, and still are. But thank God we speak in the name of Jesus. We raise our hallelujahs and we speak in the name of Jesus. But the effect of the storm is the waves. And they need to be calm. There's a disturbance. It's not a storm anymore, but it's just big waves. Waves, be still in Jesus' name. Yeah. Be still and know that he is God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's how Jesus spoke. And but we need to live in that language, using the same language that Jesus did. How do we do it? Well, I thank God, you know, there's a manual. You know, who knows that learning languages all come from a manual? That puts you off to start off with, doesn't it? But here's the manual. Yeah. Let the word of God, let this word dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Yes. Meditate on it. Amen. Read it. Yeah. Study it. You know, when I was sort of so high, we had to memorize it almost every week. It's just, it amazes me, really. Every week at Sunday school, you know, we had, we're supposed to learn the scripture promise all week. And Lord, being me a typical student, I did this even in my adult, but even in an adult, you know, older student, school exams, you know, revise, you know, start learning the verse at the beginning of the lesson, because you've got to say it at the end of the lesson. And there's just one or two verses that have stuck with me. Amen. One of them, so I remember it now. One of them is Psalm 73 and 26. I don't know why it is. Who can understand God? I love that great scripture where the Lord says, God's ways past finding out. You start thinking about what we began with, Jacob and Leah. Was that God's plan? Absolutely. Was that what Jacob wanted? Absolutely not. It was a mistake. It was a problem. But because of that, somebody called Jesus was born into the line of the tribe of Judah. And it would never have happened if Jacob had not been deceived. You can't work that out. So stop trying to work it out. Trust in the Lord. It's all part of our worship. And the apostle, I think one of his greatest praises to God, in the end of Romans chapter 11, who has known the mind of the Lord? You know, just fall out of our face and on our knees and say, Lord, from you and to you and through you are all things. I don't know why you've chosen me. I don't know why you're doing it this time. I don't know why you're doing it in this way. I don't know why you brought me here, but Lord, it's you. Amen. Yeah. We give you praise. Yeah. We don't lean on our understanding. Turn that off. It's overworked anyway, and it's very, very limited, as far as God's concerned. Many other places too. Praise his name. Amen. Keep reading the manual. One of the things I remember about my mum, I would often say, Mum asked me to do something. Mum, I can't. And dear mum would say, David, there is no such word as can't. Because the Bible says, I can do all things. Do we know this one? Try, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay, mum, I'll wash up. Philippians 4:13. Read the manual and spend time with the teacher. We need the teacher. The great news is we've got a teacher. Amen. This is not Pastor David. He's God the Holy Ghost. And he's not someone that you can just see once in a blue moon. He's someone that lives inside of our hearts. And he wants to teach us. He wants to teach us the language of Judah. He wants to do even beyond and above that. John 14 and verse 26. He says, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And we need to get used to our teacher. Get used to listening to the Holy Spirit. Yeah. I think, like a lot of other people, I grabbed hold of Benny Hinn's first book that he brought. It's really his testimony, called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And everything, I sort of read it in a day. I was just amazed. You know, it's just, you know, from almost like, if you read this, almost from the day he was sort of born again and filled with the Spirit, as he puts it there, you know, he just said, Good morning, Holy Spirit. And from day one, you know, the Holy Spirit led him in the most radical ways ever, you know, and led him into the supernatural, miraculous, worldwide ministry that he has enjoyed. And I said, yeah, man, I'm going for that. It didn't quite work for me the same way. I didn't think. I have to admit that, oh yeah, I want that. But I wasn't so conscious of the ministry of the Holy Spirit as I should be in my life. And to be honest, having read Benny Hinn's book, yeah, I want that, Lord, here it is. Oh, that's the word of God. I want that for me. And yet, because it didn't sort of come simply, I just sort of, in a sense, gave up. I said, well, you know, the Holy Spirit was like a silent partner. You know, it doesn't speak much. Didn't seem to, not very much. But I've had to come back 45 years later. More later, say, hey, the Holy Spirit lives within you. I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit is the most talkative person that you could ever know. Hallelujah. He is the most talkative. He wants to speak to us, and he does speak to us. And the key is that we just tune in to his voice. And he doesn't just limit himself to the Word of God, but of course it is essentially the Word of God. He'll speak outside of that, but we can get to know, we can sit down anywhere and just have a simple time, believe it or not, usually of quiet. He will just speak through that, and you will hear his voice, and you can begin to learn again and say, oh God, I'm not a failure. I might not be Benny Hinn, but I'm David Weeks. And Benny Hinn, well, man, you haven't seen that yet, but I haven't got to the age of 85 yet, and I tell you what, we are going to sit. Well, that's another sermon. Amen. But spend time with the teacher. I encourage you to spend time with the teacher. And you want to learn the language of Judah, just mix with people who speak it. Find the right people. You know who they are. And we mix with everybody. We love all Christians, and of course we witness, go to the lost, and we have that. But we know, I'm sure we know that there are people that we know that God has put there who encourage us, that speak this language better than we do. And Proverbs 27 and verse 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And the two or three of us, Pastor Claudio and Pastor Costa, has been in, we've been amongst 2,000 believers and some preachers as well. And we've been blessed and we've been sharpened. But we had to go to Harrogate. But we have some good news. That next year, you do not have to go to Harrogate. You do not have to go to Bournemouth. You do not have to go to London. You have to go to Peterborough. The same conference is here in Peterborough for 3 days. Can anybody get to Peterborough? The bad news is it's not at the Way. But it's not far away. I presume it's at Kingsgate. Probably at this time. So as soon as I know the dates, I'll let you know. I encourage you to book those dates. It'll be like a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And at least if you can't book all the dates, at least book one of them and spend some time. Allow iron to sharpen iron. Amen. Amen. Who knows, the next time you hear Claudio and the next time you hear Pastor Costa again, you know, we'll be different people because they've been to the... It's because iron has been sharpened and this iron needs to... So I encourage you to do that or to find other good Christian events like that. But when it comes here, do that. Amen. 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 So, amen. Thank God for the language of Judah. Yeah, let's keep raising our hallelujahs. Yes. And the greatest hallelujahs in the middle of the storm. The greatest testimonies of faith when it looks as though God is doing nothing. When it's been 30 years, 40 years since God made that promise. But we're not going to let you go until you bless us. We use that great word that somebody invented not long ago, push, until something happens. Amen. Let the tribe of Judah stand up. Yeah. Amen. 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 Be still up. Be ready to go into battle. You have weapons. You have armor. We're ready to go into battle. This is not just for our blessing and for our benefit, but to go into battle against the powers of darkness, that the devil will tremble when he sees the tribe of Judah beginning to move forward, beginning to praise God, and beginning to take territory that he thinks belongs to him, but he doesn't really know it belongs to Jesus. And we're going to go in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so we just thank you, Lord, in this place that you will raise faith. You will raise faith, Lord. You will increase the songs of Zion. Deliver us from unbelief. Deliver us from being unbelieving believers. And help us to move, Lord, in areas of faith where we've not moved before. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Be blessed. Amen. Be blessed. Amen. 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 If you want prayer, please see one of us. I'll hand over. Do you want to conclude? Yeah. Okay. If you want prayer, please see one of us who's been leading or on the platform. We'll pray with anybody, especially if you don't yet know Jesus or you've even given your life to Jesus today. We'd love to know that and love to pray with you.